And what is going down, everybody? Felt weird even saying that. Hi, everybody. Doug is not in today. Cody here, substituting, pinch hitting for him today. It is the Hype edition number 168. Dan and C-Rad are along with me. We're going to be talking about the latest releases in the hobby. We got a lot, as it's the holiday season, a lot to get to when it comes to new releases. Huge, huge news in the card game with just more humongous auctions, huge price tags for modern cards, classic cards. We're going to get into all that. Plus, we are just a few days away from the NBA season. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on the court, plus how it affects the hobby. But guys, how are we doing today? Dan, how are we doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You had a perfect opportunity right there to just start the show and say, hey, everybody. It's Doug. that would have been perfect.
You know, I think I probably could have half the time in the chat when I'm breaking. People are like, did Doug just go in a time machine? And what's going on?
So some people who would have been like, all right, different angle maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it is Doug.
I'm good. I'm stoked for basketball. I'm stoked for a set. I mean, we've had football. Football's been fun. Football's been good. But football is once a week. Well,
yeah.
Twice a week, three times a week.
Right, sometimes the week.
I think there's actually and this week I think they have Saturday games.
Yeah,
which is normal late in the season. But yeah, we basically got NFL, we got college football, which has also been kind of weird and wacky. San Jose State, ranked 24th.
Spartans
overall.
Baby.
I can't believe I didn't.
They got up in there, huh?
I can't believe it.
6-0.
First time ever.
That's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. But yeah, basketball season. What's up, C-Rad?
What's up? I'm excited. Warriors, baby. See this?
You mean Kyle guy?
Oh, that guy? Oh, that guy last night?
Yeah.
It's because Wiseman wasn't playing, dude.
Season's over.
It's true. No Wiseman, no Draymond.
No Draymond Wiseman.
Thursday game.
Kyle guy. I mean, there was a lot of hype on him ending the season last year.
When does the season start? Is it
Monday? The 22nd. If you're listening to this, maybe a little bit afterwards, December 22nd.
They don't spend a lot of time on the exhibition season, do they? It's not a couple games and ready to go. So, 71 game season. 70.
So
game
they
season?
Just. I think it's 72. They cut 72. Off 10 games. First game. One of the first games of the season is going to be Nets and Warriors. KD versus the Dubs.
Traitor.
Welcome home.
Traitor.
Yeah, I think that one's in Brooklyn. I'm not 100%, but
get out of here with that. Get out of here, KD. I don't need you.
I mean, I do hope we win. I do hope we obliterate them. I was hoping, you know what? I was hoping, really hoping that the Brooklyn Nets were going to get James Harden. This was before the Klay injury, though, because I was really looking forward to possibly meeting them in the finals and then taking them out. That would have been fun, right? But with the Klay injury now, who knows if we, you know, I'm hopeful that we still get there, but it's going to be a lot tougher. And the Brooklyn Nets obviously didn't have enough for James Harden. I think the Rockets, they wanted either Kyrie or KD in the trade, which obviously was never going to happen. So
I think it's going to be tough to beat the Lakers, man.
Yeah. Lakers have got a real good team, and we're going to talk about
I think they got a little better, too.
They got a little better.
That's tough.
And we're not talking Montrezl. That's not who we're talking about, either. We're going to get to the guy that LeBron says.
They got a little better.
Is the next
they got better? They got younger?
Yeah.
A little better.
We're going to talk about all that, some of the interesting guys to watch in the NBA and more as we go on in the show. But first, you may have already heard on, if you follow us on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram, wherever, you probably have heard that we have a shop that's now officially open here in Santa Clara, the Mojo Break shop, the official card shop, physical shop, where you could come in, I think, one at a time right now. Once we get past COVID, it'll be a little bit better, but we got a shop here. But if you can't make it out to California, if you can't make it out to the Bay Area, go over to Mojo Break shop.com. That is the place to go. Obviously, you can go to mojobreak.com still for all of your breaks, group breaks, pick your teams, personal breaks, all that good stuff. But there is a huge selection over at mojobreakshop.com right now. Obviously, all of the latest releases. If you want to get your hands on some of the biggest releases in football, baseball, basketball, hockey, all of that. Plus, one of our hottest sellers, I'd say, in the shop so far, Pokemon cards.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
I was pointing at the old wax, but
the old wax too. The old wax is a big one, but Pokemon cards have been a big hot seller so far. So if you're into Pokemon and not finding it at Target or, you know, or Walmart or wherever you're going, come to mojobreakshop.com. Check it out. We've got a huge selection. And yeah, Dan, you mentioned it. A huge selection, incredible selection of classic wax. So what are some of those boxes you got over there on the table?
Got 94 Bowman. I think that's Raul Mondesi on the cover.
Yeah, it is
and
Raul
that, and that is good. He had a cannon. He had a cannon in right field.
That's Adalberto's dad.
Yes.
Right there.
Yeah. And 93-94 Topps flagship. And, I mean, look at them shorts.
Beautiful.
I think they got him on the set. Jordan's definitely in the set, right?
Jordan's in that set.
Yeah.
Along with maybe Dan Marley. I think I see him on the on there. You can
wow, get. This is crazy because I didn't even notice this. Did you see it on this 79-cent tag?
Yeah,
was that the cost of the that wasn't the that was the cost of the pack.
Pack.
Okay.
Pack.
Yeah. Per
okay.
Pack.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Not now. But yeah. That's what it used to cost back in the day, 79 cent.
79 cents a pack.
At McDonald's.
Not only that, you guys, if you're watching the stream, you can see some of the examples we've got there. Let's say you want a Tom Brady rookie card. We've got a chance to get that if you get 2,000
We got Kobe rookies.
We got Kobe
I think
rookies.
96, 97.
Somewhere there.
We got it all.
Mid to late 90s, we got it all.
I think it's two different 96-97 NBA sets that we have on sale on the Mojo Break Shop website.
We actually have those in the shop too.
Yes.
And you can pick that up and you can rip it live.
Yeah. If you are within the area that can come down here for now, we got it available. Plus, I believe that's 1993 Topps Baseball, which has Derek Jeter's first rookie cards, one of his first cards. So, chances to get some huge, huge hits from some classic packs, or, you know, if you just want a bargain pack, if you just want to feel that nostalgia of opening some of your favorite guys from the 80s and the 90s or the 2000s, go over to mojobreakshop.com or come here, if you can, to the Mojo Break physical shop here in Santa Clara. We've got a ton of great selections for you guys. We'll, so go ahead and check that out as soon as you can. But let's talk about some of the newest releases in the hobby that we're seeing this week. The three that we're definitely focusing on, National Treasures College Basketball. I know, Dan, you and Doug were breaking that this morning and
loaded.
Had some huge hits. We've got Hoops Premium as well that's releasing this, that has already released, plus Immaculate Football coming later this week. But, guys, let's start with National Treasures College Basketball. You just said it, Dan, a loaded product.
They didn't make a lot of it. It was a online exclusive, so distributors didn't have an opportunity to sell it. There was really no pre-orders on it. Everybody had a shot at it via Dutch auction through Panini's website. I thought we got a fair amount, but after seeing how good it is and how loaded it is, and C-Rad probably could have told us that because I think it was similar last year. It was pretty loaded. Like, yep. You're getting the top rookies in every case. Nice patches, big patch windows, on-card autos, obviously in their college unis, but you're going to rip a case. You're going to see a case. You're not going to go empty-handed without getting
multiple top guys. Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, I love it. And the design still is very National Treasures. They didn't, you know, steer away from what works. And cardboard boxes, no. I think we're done with the sweet mahogany.
Aw, man.
I think that's a thing of the past.
They're keeping the tins for Immaculate, though, right? Probably.
Right now. But, yeah, I mean, having those NT wood boxes, I don't think we're ever going to see those again.
I mean, they're trying to save they're trying to save the environment. Panini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
Very sad.
Very sad. They're trying to save the environment.
I mean, but there was something about, like, opening up NT.
Oh, yeah. It's a premium feel,
but
for
you
sure.
Get the crack.
Yeah.
You get the crack of the back of
that
the box
nice.
And you open it up.
That's something that the new generation won't remember.
They just won't know.
Because,
you know, we gotta fight through, move on, and fight through adversity of not having mahogany.
Who knows? They'll probably change it up again eventually.
They won't. It's done. Because basically, I mean, the box is like a, it's a, it's a cardboard box with some fake leather, like a pleather covering, and
make it seem
faux
like
leather.
But don't get that nice rich mahogany.
No, mahogany. No. And old NT, you could actually smell it. Got all your senses.
So it's gonna drive up the prices of the older ones, not just because of the contents, but because of the materials used.
But yeah, overall, you're gonna like it. You're gonna love it.
I'm gonna love it. I did love Immaculate Collegiate, which was fairly loaded itself. So I'm thinking that they did make less NT than Immaculate. They don't make a lot of both of them, for, going by last year's and this year's Immaculate. But yeah, can't wait to open some, and we're gonna have some throughout all weekend, guys.
Yeah. Well, before we get into the other basketball product, you mentioned Immaculate. Obviously, Immaculate Football is coming. I think obviously always a incredibly fun product to rip. Just incredible stuff coming out of there oftentimes. And with the added incentive that now you've got an incredibly deep rookie class in the NFL, what are you guys expecting from this product as we're approaching release day for it?
It's going to be big. I mean, it is a top-tier product, top-tier release every year. Comes out before National Treasures. You basically, this is the first huge release that we're seeing besides, like, Prism. But when you look at, like, high-end, first high-end release. You can say Spectra is similar.
Yeah.
But
it's close, but it's more like a Prism product.
Yeah, Immaculate and Spectra, different ball game there.
I think also, when they went away from, when they started making everything mostly acetate, I remember Doug saying that he didn't like it when they went all acetate for basketball, but I felt like with them going all acetate for the football version of it, when they started doing that, I think that was just like last year they started doing that, right? Or maybe 2 years ago. It does give it a more premium feel to the product. Like years before, like early years Immaculate, when I was getting back in the hobbies like 5-6 years ago, obviously it felt higher end than anything, than other products. But you know, I don't know. It's just for me, the acetate gives it an even more premium feel when they started going mostly acetate on the product. I think like only a few cards are cardboard, like maybe like jumbo memorabilia pieces.
Well, if you go in the Wayback Machine, way back, before Flawless, which feels like a million years ago, when it came to high-end releases, you had National Treasures and Immaculate.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. I mean, Spectra wasn't even really around at that point, and especially wasn't considered a ultra high-end product. Immaculate was always considered an ultra high-end product.
And that's where they would put the acetates only, right? Back in the days, they didn't do acetate and NT back then at all.
No, yeah, the NT acetate's relatively new, and then now they have like the midnight parallels that are acetate. So, mm-hmm. Big release, huge rookie class. Now we have another rookie quarterback to throw into the mix, and Jalen Hurts. So, they're not that far out of the playoff race. They actually get to the playoffs and watch out for his cards.
And that's a guy, too, that I feel like the Jalen Hurts trajectory can just skyrocket real fast. I was saying, I think I hit a Hurts RPA the other day, and a lot of people are like, these are going to just skyrocket the next few days. And he's one of Philadelphia is one of those cities that you do well there. It's like New York, LA, Chicago. Like, it's just the name brand is even more, you become even more recognizable, and your stature just goes way up just if you can be successful there. So I think he's got a huge chance to just, fit right in, especially with Joe Burrow injured too. He's now the third quarterback.
Yeah, they got a crazy fan base in Philly.
Yeah. Yeah, he can do well, 1 week, and then he just throws the 2 picks or something, 3 picks in the next game, and it's just the same old story in Philadelphia.
They're going to crucify him.
Yeah, this is, I don't need to, it's Christmas time. You know the story with Santa in Philadelphia. I don't need to bring it up.
Dude, in my opinion, like, I've been saying it on stream for the last couple of weeks, like, I get it. Carson has had a pretty awful year.
Bad.
But I personally wouldn't give up on him yet. I mean, they're already starting Hurts, so it's already beyond that. But for me, like, there's certain quarterbacks, they just need some time, bro. Like, the biggest example I can think of is, like, somebody like Alex Smith, who had a terrible first 3-4 years in the NFL.
Yeah, but he had a terrible team around him. Yeah.
And, like, he had a revolving door of coaches,
Carson Wentz had a good team around him.
Not necessarily this year, though.
Injury-wise,
because they were injured, so injured.
Alex Smith's, like, first 3 years in the league, he had... You can make an argument that they were the worst team in the league.
Yeah. I just don't like giving up on quarterbacks.
I don't know, man. If you don't in your fourth year, if you're not performing,
I get that.
I mean, he's almost gone through his whole rookie contract.
Yeah. Well, he did pretty well his first. I mean, he was injured mostly for what year was it? Year three.
Year
two.
The year they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That was
he got them
that
there,
was, that wasn't
and then Foles took over in the playoffs.
I think he got hurt. Like, it was like week 10 or something,
because
he got hurt against the Rams.
That's how you remember that one.
That's how I remember it. But I don't know. He's been looking pretty bad this year. I think it's over, man.
I don't want to give up on him.
It's over. I think it's over for Wentz. I think Wentz will get another job. I think he'll be a backup somewhere. But I think it's over for him in Philadelphia.
It's over for him in Philadelphia.
If you want to talk about being over, I think it's over for Sam Darnold in New York.
Yeah. I think
we just have a segment of, like, all the quarterbacks that are just done. It's over.
Who's washed?
Like, I'm laying down the doom and gloom. I'm telling all these quarterbacks, your career is over, bro.
But I'm saying, if you're holding on to Wentz cards, I wouldn't give up hope. I think he's gonna go to another team and do well. So I wouldn't completely give up on Carson Wentz yet, especially if you're holding on to his cards.
Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh,
no,
I'm kind of in between you guys, because I think, to C-Rad's point, I think that for a while with Wentz, other than that year where if he had stayed healthy and the year they win the Super Bowl, I thought he would have won the MVP that year. Other than that year, he's like never had a ton of great weapons around him.
Yeah.
Now there are great quarterbacks who, a la Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
You don't need the weapons. Your greatness will come out whether you got weapons or not. You're going to make guys into players. And he hasn't done that. But I think, maybe if you gave him some targets, maybe it would have been different. But at the same time, we're now pretty deep into his career where he is who he is. So
I mean, and I love talking about Wentz, because the Rams had the first overall pick in 2016. And it was, for 3 months, like, who are they going to go with? Is it going to be Wentz? Is it going to be Goff? Wentz, Goff. Are they going to make the right decision? It's the Rams. Of course they're not. They're going to get the guy who's going to be the Ryan Leaf. They're going to get Ryan Leaf instead of Peyton Manning.
That's rough.
The Rams didn't. I think everybody could agree with me that Jared Goff was a better selection over Carson Wentz.
Yeah, there was a moment where it felt like that wasn't the case, but
I'd agree with you. First 2 years, I was like, "Well, the Rams did the Rams type of things there." Thanks, Fisher.
Yeah,
exactly. He worked out well for you guys. I just hate to see Goff on a team that that's not as good as you guys. A team that you guys have.
You mean like the Eagles?
Yeah.
That's a good. I mean, yeah. But what if you do switch it up and you put Carson Wentz as a Ram, and he has the Rams offense, and he has Sean McVay, and he has their receivers, and he has their defense. The defense makes a huge difference,
bro.
For a quarterback.
I love your team, the Rams. They're like a really good team, but your quarterback, he does some iffy stuff, bro. He makes some iffy decisions, man.
Man, he's up on Ryan Gosling, dude. He's got a career after football, man. He can't be hurting himself.
Yeah, he does have a modeling career ahead of him.
Before we move on to our next topic, guys, real quick, 1920 Hoops Premium. We're literally less than a week away from the 2020-2021 season. Here is another 1920 NBA product.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Just early thoughts on that product. What you guys think?
Well, I ripped it. It is awesome. I'm actually surprised. I think online retailers, major online retailers, not us, we have it for $300 right now. Special on the site. I think other online retailers are like $350. Never thought I would say it. It's a steal.
Yeah.
It's a steal at $300. The amount of rookies you're getting, you got to look at the cards in person to really like enjoy like the actual design, the film, the parallels. They do have silvers in there.
So the design lends well to itself as a prism type product.
Yeah, I would definitely put it in prism optic. I mean, it's shiny. You can't get. I would say I told Doug when we were ripping it that it was better value than any T-Mall release I've seen ever.
Wow.
So I think. I think at $300, I think it might not be a good product to speculate on and hold on to
because it's so new.
New, and the fact that it seems to be maybe a little redemption heavy with the autos.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I know
long term you always want to think about redemption.
I know Ja Morant is a redemption. So it wouldn't be one of those products that I would say buy a case and hold on to for 5 years.
Yeah, because you're playing a risky game when you hold on to products with redemptions.
And I get it. Like, not everybody is going to be chasing the autos, but just out of the gate, knowing that Ja Morant is a redemption, that has to hurt the longtime value of that product.
For sure.
100%.
Because, I mean... the way everybody's chasing now, you're going rookies and rookies parallels, but there's still going to be collectors who want to collect the autographs.
Yeah. There's going to be people who are hesitant in the future to want to buy a box off of you or buy a case off of you if they know that the top guys are redemptions there, and then they're never going to get those cards, right? So,
yeah. So I would say from a speculation standpoint, maybe not something to hold, but... the value is definitely there, and I'm interested to see what the secondary market does with like guys like Ruby Hachimura base cards, because we pulled in 10 boxes. I think we pulled like 4 Ruby Hachimura rookies.
How many parallels are you getting per box?
You're getting one parallel per pack.
Okay.
Some packs run really heavy rookie based. And then some packs are all vet. Kind of the way Clearly was.
Okay.
Clearly Donruss. You'd get that. You'd get like that one pack or that one box that would be really heavy on rookies, and you'd get another one that'd be like all vets.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't personally seen it myself. I, you know, like with these like late year products, and this is like, you know, when it was first announced, I was like, wow. They're putting out hoops product of last year's class at the end of the line. So it kind of boggled my mind, but like after hearing you talk about how good it is, I'm excited to rip it now, obviously. So it's pretty, cuz it's upgraded photography of the rookies, right?
And it's like a 55 point card stock.
Okay.
And I mean, if you're into shiny stuff, it's ultra shiny.
Would you consider it like a, you know how Topps has their like Series 1, Series 2? Would you see this? Would this be like a hoop Series 2 in a way?
You got to break it. I think it truly is like a standalone release. Now, it's funny that you brought it up that the 1920, you're like, how are we doing this?
Yeah.
And I remember when we talked about it, I chuckled. I laughed. Yeah. Like, this is a joke. Like,
and the name is so long, too.
I'm like, we do not need... another release, let alone a remake of a release that we already had earlier in the year, right. Put it at the end. I'm like, I know everybody loves 1920 rookie class, but we gotta move on.
Yeah.
Like, it's time to move on. So, but I was proven wrong. And another thing,
that's good.
Jumping on that, and I know it's probably not in, we don't have a segment for it, but today they did the Dutch auction. I just want to bring it up real quick.
Yep.
Of the hoops set. The premium set.
Okay. What did it go for?
What do you think it went for? We're going to do a little guessing game.
Can I know what it started at?
Cody could jump in this. Yeah, it started at $4,000.
$4,000, okay.
And we're talking all cards numbered to 149.
This is not the same set you could buy at Walmart or Target that people were selling earlier, right?
No, because there's exclusives that you can get in. So you get two 101s.
Ooh.
And you get one.
Wow.
You get one autograph.
Two 101s.
And one autograph is, I think, a 20 different subjects you can get it from.
And we're talking 1920 class.
1920,
right. Okay.
But it's not all rookies,
right?
For
right.
The auto. So two 101 parallels. I could be missing something. Two 101 parallels, and then one auto Dutch auction style, started at $4,000. And they only had 149 sets.
Oh, so, okay. Damn.
What do you guys think?
$3,500.
Yeah, I was actually thinking, I was like, am I going to be over, totally over? But I'm actually going to say...
Now I don't.
Wait, what did you say, C-Rad?
$3,500.
Wait, they started at four?
Four grand.
Only 150 copies, man.
149.
I was going to say like 10K. I don't know.
It couldn't go any higher. It goes
reverse.
Oh, couldn't go any higher.
It was a Dutch auction. So
I was like,
started,
are we starting at four?
Four.
I'll say probably about, three. I'll go 375 then.
Okay, well, it sold. Now I'm like on the spot. I think it sold for about 30. I was like 35, okay. 36.
35, 36. Right. Wow, so it didn't go down much at all.
No, not at all. It actually, I was going to buy at like 32. I'm like, I'll buy a set. We can't really break it. I'll just hold on to it. We have a couple of the other sets from previous years. So I'm like, I'll hold on to it. And went on there, and it was gone.
Bro, you know what it was? Because, okay, let me do this for you.
I mean,
because you broke it today, and you saw how good it was, right? Like later on, after the other shops that probably got the product yesterday from distributors and stuff, they probably opened it and was like, "Damn, this looks hella nice."
Yeah, but dude,
let me hop on that.
I mean, I get you get the 2 1-of-1s in the exclusive auto, but what room do you have for it to go up?
Yeah.
$3,500.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, if you're the way you're explaining Hoops Premium to me, I'm like, this sounds like a freaking awesome product. I can't wait to rip it. So
but then I also looked at, I think 1819, they came out with the
premium set.
Hoops Premium set. I think that year you can buy on eBay, it's like $3,000.
With Luca. But it doesn't have the guarantee what 2 1-of-1s.
But I also think it was, I think cards were numbered to 199.
Mm.
So
they made more of it.
They made more of it in 1819. But still, like, Luca and Trey Young selling for $3,000 out of the gate. Why would this year be $3,500?
Also, you're talking about regular Hoops Premium, right? This is the Hoops Premium of the Hoops Premium.
Ultra Premium.
Yeah, the premium stock. Where last year, it was just the Luca, because they only had one Hoops last year. So it's
what we call in the industry, card regular.
Yeah, it's card regular.
It's card thickness regular.
Mm-hmm. And this one was the thick stock, the thick boys. This was the James Harden.
Thank you.
That's great. This is a Luca. Luca
Doncic.
We'll talk. Yeah, that seems, that's crazy, right?
I just thought
I would throw that in there. We're talking about
that
hoops.
Is crazy. Well, you know what? That's a good segue because we are going to be talking about auctions in our next segment. Which, look, all year long, the story has been how much bigger, how much crazier is the hobby going to get? How high are we going to? You know, instead of how low can you go? How high can we go with this hobby? And we definitely reached heights over the last week that I think a lot of people, you know, I'm still coming into this as someone who was into the hobby as a kid and coming back into it. And I'm sure you guys, you know, you guys have been in this for years. I don't think anybody could have imagined where it's gone, especially even in the last week, specifically starting with the Giannis Antetokounmpo Black Mosaic 1-of-1 rookie card that just went. It was purchased at auction last week for $1.1 million.
This is his rookie card.
That's his rookie card.
From which
Golden
product?
Auctions.
Prism?
Yep, Prism.
Okay.
Yep. Black Mosaic Prism.
Wow.
Holy grail. 9.5 BGS. Went for $1.1 million. But that's not all. We had big modern sales for Zion. Let's see. Which one was that? That would have been a... Prism Gold, that went for $118,261. Luis Robert, his 1-of-1 2018 First Bowman Superfractor went for $92,756. Kobe Bryant, a Topps Chrome, Topps Chrome from his first year, the highest price ever for a first-year Kobe, $137,760. And the biggest sale of all... Wayne Gretzky rookie card sold for $1.29 million. Previous record for a Wayne Gretzky rookie was $465,000.
Wow.
This is just remarkable how much money is just flying around in the hobby right now. Let's start with that Giannis card. First of all, there was already a Giannis record-breaking card earlier in the year. Now we have one, a non-auto, by the way. It is one of one. Obviously, it's a huge card. Just, yeah, your guys' thoughts on where do we go from here? I think we're always asking it, but really, where do we go from here after sales like this?
I mean, boy, in terms of Prism cards, that I mean, that card, if it's the base version, it's bigger than the Prism Auto that you could probably get out of that set. So, huge card, a crazy amount. At this point, in terms of Giannis, you know, he is at the age, like, Jordan at the same age hadn't won a championship yet, so we're still giving Giannis time.
True.
But you know, and I'm sure we're gonna talk about it soon. But with that huge contract now, obviously he's gonna be with that organization for a while longer. I mean, he could force a trade, but then again, who's gonna want to take on that contract at the same time, right? You gotta think about that as well. Yeah, in terms of his cars, bro, that's amazing. $1.1 million. Wow.
Yeah, $1.1 million is what it went for. Most ever paid for an unsigned modern era trading card.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know, I think out there we have these canvas, and it has, like, all of our pulls that we've had over
biggest
the last
pulls.
Decade,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure there is a one-of-one black parallel 13-14 select
rookie
Giannis
patch auto.
Rookie patch auto.
Beautiful card, too.
And we pulled it.
Full signature.
I got to assume it's got to be worth at least... I mean, we don't have it. I mean, it was a pull, right? But
it's going to be in that ballpark.
Got to be worth $500,000, right?
Yeah, it's in that ballpark.
At least.
Dude. Feel like we're just making up numbers at this point, and especially since we're on the top, especially about the Lou Bob, man. Are you guys crazy?
92K. 92.
Talk about it, Dan. Talk about the Luis Robert.
Give you 30.
You know, when we did an episode about what, a month ago,
yeah,
where we first brought it up, we did a contest. We already picked a winner for that. Congratulations. I think the winning bid, quote unquote, was 73,000.
So
it's still a good 20K off, and average guess was something around the, like what you're saying, Dan, 25 to 35,000 for that.
Smart people out there.
Dan, what did I say? Do you remember, Cody? What did I say?
You said more than me. 50?
Yeah, I think about 50.
I might have said 50. Yeah.
50?
Yeah. Is a Luis Robert one of one superfractor? What? I'm trying to do the quick math in my head. Is that justifiably about 30, 35,000 less than a Zion, I guess? I don't know. You guys will tell me.
From the Zion Gold, though.
Right. Zion Gold.
Yeah. I mean, big difference between.
I should say, does it feel like that gap should be larger, I guess, that the Zion should be more than that? Which, I guess, in my mind,
how much was the Zion?
Zion was 118,261.
Might be a pretty good deal.
Yeah. The Zion to me feels like a good deal.
Was the Zion undervalued?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
And then the Louis Bobby, knowing because baseball collectors aren't really like that. I mean,
Lou Bob, good player. He hit 230.
And he could be a great player.
Hit 230. Let's not forget that. 230 is not great. Not going to get you into the Hall of Fame. Not a lot of hitters in the Hall of Fame who have a career average of 230.
I would venture to guess none.
Yeah.
Didn't win the Rookie of the Year. In fact, didn't even get a first place vote.
Yeah. $90K. I have a feeling somebody just like, I got $90K burning a hole in my pocket. I need to get rid of it. Lou Bob it is.
You know, also people will say this, you know, about Zion, like the main thing people, I've seen it online too, is that, you know, the kids only played 20 games or yeah. So, you know, I mean, we'll see. We'll see this upcoming year. But Zion or Louis Bob, who's going to have the second
game
season?
Out,
it's interesting to see him.
Zion looked amazing.
He does.
He's in great shape. No minute restrictions. I mean,
Zion Unleashed is a scary dude.
I think based on what we saw with Luka cards,
Get ready.
The sky is a limit.
Get ready.
Zion.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Get ready.
I can't believe I'm saying that because all year I was like, his prices are too high. He's not. But you're right. Dude, he played 20 games.
Yeah.
And we were basing all that, all those prices based on 20 games. Now we're getting into the, this is going to be it. We're going to see what Zion can do. He understands the offense. He's healthy. He has Lonzo. He has Ingram.
Like, a better Lonzo.
They're all healthy. Like, they could be good.
Yeah.
And if they make a run and he's putting up 20 and 10 every game,
he might be putting 30-10 again.
His cards are going to go. They're going to be at Luka's level.
Because Luka was averaging a triple double his second year, like an easy triple double. Luka made it look so effortless last year. So
Luka, I think, hands down, odds to win MVP this year. Based on Vegas odds, I think it's actually something. It's like,
so Vegas got him probably winning.
It's like +175 on the money line for him winning MVP, and Curry, for reference, is +850, same as LeBron. I think it goes. I looked at it earlier. I think it's Luka, Dame Lillard's definitely up there.
Yeah. Portland improved a lot.
What was Trout's stats his rookie year?
He was rookie of the year.
Yeah. Okay, so he was
second
rookie of the year.
In MVP voting.
Okay.
He had his, the first time he was called up.
Not a good start.
He had a tough September call up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
his percentage was probably below 230 then.
Oh yeah, much far below. Yeah. I remember when it was.
Don't compare Mike Trout to Luis Robert.
I think that's all it says. There were a lot of comparisons being thrown Luis Robert's way. I think I even heard people saying he is the Cuban Mike Trout. Like, this guy is the real deal. Just look at the stat lines. I know 60 games, it's different. It's totally different.
Yeah.
Maybe that's more fair. Look at their first 60 games, which, well, okay, now I'm talking and I'm arguing with myself. Yeah, maybe, you know what, actually, when you do look at the 60-game average, maybe it isn't as crazy as I thought. I don't know. There's a lot of time to grow. The other thing, too, before we move on to the NBA, it feels like there is this feeling of everybody – every time we hear another one of these stories, we hear somebody who's got a great card clearly is reading and saying, well, I'm going to one-up that person. It's been a lot of one-upping, and it just never ends, it feels like. I guess I was going to try to throw like an over-under of maybe in the next year.
Okay.
What's the highest card we saw sell this year? Did anything go over 2 mil this year? I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
I think it was the NT RPA, to be honest, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
And 1.8 or something like that.
And okay. LeBron was close to 2, wasn't it?
Yeah. What did the Trout go for? The Trout went for.
The Trout, I thought, went for.
That was
for
a crazy number. Yeah. Was that like 4?
Yeah,
it was 4.
I don't.
Multiple M's.
Throwing crazy
multiple
numbers.
Multiple M's.
Over under, are we in 2021 going to see a $5 million card?
Over.
Dude,
this run ain't stopping yet.
$5 million card.
One card. Not a lot.
No.
Like,
I'm talking one card. Because if that Trout can go for, and I do remember, it was about $4 million. If that can go for 4, are we gonna see 5? And I just feel like it's a matter of time till we see 5.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah,
we are. I want to be that guy. I want to say no. We've hit the peak. It's all downhill from here. Yeah.
Every time it feels like we've hit it.
It's still going up.
I'll tell you this, Cody. Like that peak that people talk about, like every year that I've been back in the hobby, that's what people have been saying every single year.
Yep.
Exactly. For the last 6 years.
Get ready for the crash, I think you've heard it from me at least.
Yeah, exactly.
150 times.
But from the interwebs, like the people have been saying that forever. You know, people have probably been saying that since the 90s.
I think you're starting to get like big banks, like investors. Like I think you're starting to get that, where sports cards as a tangible object is becoming parts of portfolios.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you're seeing the types of guys who are buying them too. It's those types of guys, you know, who want to, you know, diversify their portfolio.
I love that. Love that word.
Yeah.
Diversify.
Yeah. Diversify your
diversify. Ball. Have diversify. A Jordan rookie in there. You better have a Jordan rookie in there.
That's right. That's
you better
right.
have a Sean Mannion in there.
That's right. I mean, you know what? We talked all these modern cards, but I got the slide up right now. You say diversify, but look, two cards that are now one that's, you know, over 40 years old and a card that is going on almost 25 years old. So it's not just all about the modern cards. You know, you just get into those classic cards. Start digging into those shoe boxes. And, you know, your
classic is vintage is the has been having the last few months, but vintage is like that the next wave. Yeah. Obviously, modern cards are never going to go away. People are going to want the new hotness. People are always going to speculate about the new hype. But vintage is where you find that the production is much lower than whatever modern cards
and
are.
And with grading, it makes it even more limited.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with the vintage stuff.
That's the next wave, bro. Vintage.
I also think that, like, from an investment standpoint, the vintage is probably the safest way to go.
Yeah.
There's nothing that Wayne Gretzky could do on the ice right now that is going to affect his value.
100%.
Yeah. There's nothing that any of the players, Michael Jordan can't really do anything that is going to affect, but you have Luka and Zion and Trae Young and
Bol Bol
and THT.
Who's coming
up? You got those guys where they can have a bad year. Luka can have a mediocre 3 years, have a bad team around him, doesn't have great stats, maybe gets injured a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not going to look like a good investment if you're like, I bought this card for $800,000 and he is on his fourth team now and he's just bouncing around trying to stay in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that's going to happen, right. But
it could, though.
But
you never know.
But with a LeBron James card or a Kobe Bryant card or a Magic Johnson rookie or, you know, Wayne Gretzky, any of these players, like, your investment is safe.
Yeah, 100%.
It's not going to go up. You're not going to have that roller coaster ride that you could have with somebody where you buy a player where you buy his card at $500 and then in 1 year it goes up to $5,000.
Okay.
But the vintage is definitely going to be a safer long play.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, well, our last topic to wrap things up today, the NBA season is almost here. We're going to do a little bit of a preview here for obviously on the court, but how certain guys, certain players maybe that we think are going to break out, not only on the court, but maybe in the hobby. But I think first, let's talk about the guy we were just talking about, the record breaker in the hobby, is now signing a huge deal to stay in Milwaukee. Giannis, the back-to-back MVP, is staying put with Milwaukee, sort of bucking the trend of this generation of NBA players. I think it's cool, to be honest, that he is deciding, you know what, I'm going to stick it out here. I'm going to try it here. I'm going to try to win here. Maybe flexing his muscle a little bit more with the GMs in the front office saying, here's who I want. Apparently, the two guys he asked for this offseason were Bradley Beal and Bogdan Bogdanovic, and the Bogdanovic deal obviously fell through in a bit of an embarrassing way, to be honest.
Yeah, that was bad.
But what do you guys think? What does this do for his value in the card game? Clearly, it doesn't seem – it doesn't matter if he's playing in Milwaukee or if he's playing on the moon. Like, it's Giannis. He's this good. What does it do for the hobby? And then just how do you guys feel about him just staying put in Milwaukee, what it does for his chances of, like, maybe making that ascension to becoming an NBA champion? Can he do it in Milwaukee?
I love the idea of a player, a superstar player, staying with one team for their whole career. I mean, not saying that he's going to be there for his whole career, but he obviously wants to play his best years. His prime years are going to be with the team that drafted him. I think it's a great thing to have. I think it actually is going to help his card value. I think when players move around, their card value tends to kind of go down a little bit. You look at like a James Harden, for instance. For the type of player he is, his card values are not where they should be.
No, not
and
at all.
That could have something to do with the fact that his rookie cards are on OKC, and he really was winning MVPs and, you know, winning scoring titles, doing it on the Rockets. So people may be like, well, I don't know if I want to invest in James Harden. He's just going to kind of bounce around. Mm-hmm. By basically signing Giannis, they made Milwaukee a go-to spot for marquee free agents. It's going to be a lot easier to sign players who are free agents, who are top players in the league, who can come to Milwaukee and play with Giannis.
Yeah.
So I think it's good for basketball, and I think it's good for the hobby.
I actually agree with Dan. It does help for the hobby wise that he's going to still be in Milwaukee, and his rookie cards are Milwaukee. You know, obviously Milwaukee has a lot of work to do to put a better team around Giannis. Because we've seen the last two seasons, you know, like they at least did their best try to put a championship caliber team together. But the way they lost in the bubble is just like
awful.
After I had so much, I thought the Bucks were going to come out of the East as constructed. So to see them lose in the second round the way they did, you know, I mean, obviously to the Heat, who eventually went to the NBA Finals. But it's going to be I hope that it is nice to see superstars stays with their home team. Like I want Curry to stay a Warrior his whole career too, right? Yeah. So I get that point for Milwaukee fans. They're probably super excited. So yeah, we'll see. I still very much believe in Giannis. Like I was just saying earlier, Jordan hadn't won a championship yet. It's at the same age, so that makes me hopeful that Giannis will be able to do it. But Jordan got some real help in Chicago, you know, and Milwaukee's going to have to do that for Giannis.
Yeah, they have to, because, I mean, they tried this offseason, but, like, what did try and get them? Drew Holiday, who's not a bad player by any means. He's a very good player.
Upgrade,
like,
yeah. He's an upgrade over Bledsoe.
He's definitely an upgrade, but, like, is Chris Middleton, Giannis, and Drew Holiday going to dethrone LeBron and AD? I just don't see it, you know? So I hope it works out, and I hope that maybe in a year or two, a big-time superstar says, yeah, you know what? I am going to go there. Like, a Bradley Beal would be awesome for that team. To me, it's kind of like just what he needs. So
The only issue with the Lakers, obviously, is the fact that is AD. He stayed relatively healthy last year. He needs to stay healthy for them to be a championship caliber team. Yeah. I love LeBron. I don't know if LeBron is at this point in his career going to put a team on his back and carry that team like he did with the old Cavalier teams. So
yeah.
It's like that with any team though. I mean, you lose a superstar. Look at the Warriors losing Klay. Like, I want to see the Warriors make a run, but I think losing Klay, I don't think the Warriors are going to make a run at winning a championship.
I think it's just
you can try to replace him with an Oubre, but it's hard to replace a top tier talent on your team.
Oh yeah,
yeah, so absolutely.
I think it really with the Lakers, it really comes down to AD staying healthy.
Yeah, I think that if AD, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's last year was like the first year in a long time, if I'm trying to even think if there's been a year where he's fully healthy the entire year, where there was basically no health issues at all.
But he was playing through some injuries as well.
Yes,
I think he saw the fact that, let's face it, when he was with the Pelicans, he probably was more reluctant to not play through those injuries because what was the end goal? Like
an eighth seed, at best.
You may be able to sneak into the playoffs and get knocked out in the first round.
Yeah,
best case scenario. But I think he saw the light at the end of the tunnel with the Lakers team that I have a real opportunity to win my first championship. I'm going to play through whatever I got to play through.
Yeah.
I think as built right now, the Lakers should I think they're basically the favorites for at least the next 2 years to me, unless something big happens next offseason. Yeah, I just think they somehow had the best offseason, and they also won the title, which is just doesn't even seem fair.
I'll tell you what big is going to happen. James Wiseman's going to happen, become the next Giannis, and the Warriors are going to dethrone the Lakers.
I think that brings up my next topic. So this is like I don't want to say a weak rookie class, but it's not as strong as it was a year ago. And a lot was made that this is not as great a draft, but there are guys. You mentioned Wiseman. Anthony Edwards might at this point, Anthony Edwards is maybe like a sixth option right now for Minnesota. He's not probably going to be in the starting lineup to start. LaMelo is going to start. Who are you guys watching? Who is the guy to watch? Is it Wiseman, who I think Steve Kerr even said he reminds me of David Robinson, which is –
Yes, sir.
Real high praise. Really high praise. That gets me a little too excited.
I'd be stoked if he was half the player that David Robinson.
Exactly.
I don't know, man. I don't, you know, there's going to be a rookie that's in this class that we're not talking about right now that is going to pop, and everybody's going to start collecting.
Yep.
That's going to probably happen immediately.
And then it's going to be the what if, oh man, I should have been collecting so-and-so. It's gonna happen.
Somebody's going to start the season hot. One of these rookies.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Wiseman, I don't think he's going to be that guy. I think he's going to make the Warriors better. But he isn't a player that the hobby kind of gravitates towards and really collects because he's a big man.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Unless he turns into the next Giannis.
Yeah. Well, it's a possibility. I agree with you. I agree. I hope so. LaMelo, I've been critical of all the balls, but
including LiAngelo,
including LiAngelo, but
yeah,
man, he's starting out of the gate.
He is.
So I think you got to go with LaMelo. I think that's the easiest.
Sounds like no Hayward, by the way, to start the season. I think he broke a finger. Today.
Gordon Hayward?
Yeah, Gordon
Are
Hayward
you
broke.
Me?
Not no joke.
This fool broke a finger.
Weird way of phrasing it too is like he broke his fifth finger. It's like, okay, that could be your thumb or your pinky, depending on which way you're counting. Like, which one is it? If it's his pinky, I'm not as worried. If
Jeez,
it's his thumb,
man.
Dude, he can't stay healthy either.
No, that's, he can't. He's got the he's kind of cursed right now.
Well, he got that bag though. He got that bag.
He did. What about you, C-Rad? Who's the rookie? Is it Wiseman for you? Come on.
It's a bias. I'm going to say Wiseman, of course. But when we were talking about the, you know, who to look for between Edwards and LaMelo, I'm excited to watch both of them play. There's obviously a ton of kids I'm interested in seeing how they develop. No Zion or John in the draft. It's okay, man. There's going to be some superstars come out this draft for sure, 100%.
I mean, maybe Obi. Obi Toppin.
That's the guy I think is got the potential.
And it would be really something if he was the guy to really turn around the losing culture of the Knicks. And
that's a tall order, bro.
I think RJ Barrett's legit.
He's good.
I think he's legit. Obi Toppin, them together, they could make not a run.
It could be fun to watch.
But they can be competitive, and I think for Knicks fans, I think that's what you can really all ask. That's all you can ask for right now is just be competitive and don't be the laughing stock.
Be
of the
entertaining.
NBA.
Yeah, have somebody fun to watch. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hearing people throw out comparisons to like Amari Stoudemire and Sean Marion, I've heard both of those names thrown about Obi Toppin, which feels let's pump the brakes a little bit.
Well, they need a Steve Nash then, don't they?
Yes, exactly. They're going to need a facilitator there real quick. But just the brief moments I saw of him in the preseason, there is some explosive moments with Obi. And if he can keep those up, you know, if he can have like highlight reel moments, like we've seen like a guy who's a flash in the pan in New York suddenly becomes a legend for forever and ever. I mean, Linsanity in how many years ago now? Like, that's still a thing that people talk about with the Knicks. So if you have like one big month, like that's all you need sometimes.
I think that's the last good thing to happen for the Knicks was Jeremy Lin.
Kristaps.
Linsanity.
Linsanity and Kristaps.
But Kristaps is great, but they traded him away.
Yeah, exactly. Now he's gone. So
that's the New York Knicks for you.
Do they get in return?
Dan, so what do you say in terms of the hobby though? Like you say that you think LaMelo, the high risk, high reward aspect of it?
I think LaMelo is actually the lowest risk that you can have out of the gate right now without the season starting. I think your safest investment right now would be LaMelo Ball.
Isn't he the I haven't really looked at values of any of these 2021 rookies at all much. I have looked up LaMelo and Anthony Edwards every now and then when I hit a card on stream. But isn't he the most expensive rookie right now if you're trying to buy a single card?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, as a safe investment, like, he's going to play, he's going to start, he's going to put up stats, he is going to make some highlight passes and stuff like that. He's going to be talked about. His cards, they're not going to tank. If Wiseman and Edwards can't get the minutes then their cards can go down.
Okay. Yeah. I get that.
That's fair. That's fair. Mm-hmm. I did, by the way, did a little research beforehand. I saw LaMelo through his first two preseason games, a combined 3 of 15 from the field so far. So it's not off to a great start, but he does more than shoot. Just throwing it out there.
Here's another ball that has those type of stats.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's we'll see. It's a long way to go. Before we take off, guys, just real quick, I did also see somebody mention Denny Avdija, who with Russ now in Washington, and I feel like that's at least going to be a fun team.
Rui too.
I wonder. Like I like that team, and they should be fun to watch. I wonder because of what we've heard of how Russell is with his teams. I wonder if that's going to have a negative or positive impact on the younger players. Of the Wizards, you know, because that's you know, like somebody like Russ is almost like culture changing when he comes onto your team, so he demands a lot, you know. If they have high worth ethic, they should be fine. I'm assuming, but yeah, I mean they should be exciting team with Danny and Hachimura and Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, but we'll see.
Yeah,
and John Wall is in Houston. Correct.
I'm rooting for him.
He was
Kentucky great. Boys.
Yeah.
Boogie and John Wall.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Boogie. Yeah, man. Wizards could be good.
Yeah. They're at least going to be interesting. I mean, anything with a Russ, any team with Russ is interesting. But before we leave, real quick, kind of off that same tip, just in general, who's your most improved teams? Who do you think is going to have the biggest drop this year? I think, obviously, the most improved, seeing KD and Kyrie in preseason already is like, oh, my God. Like, you kind of forgot. Like,
KD looked the same like he was when he was playing with
exactly.
Us. I don't remember.
You just forget how good this combo could be.
It's been a while.
Yeah. But who do you guys think could be one of the bigger surprises, or maybe a team that you just think is going to absolutely tank this season?
You know what? I think I don't think they're going to tank, but I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year. I think the Clippers are going to fall off.
That is a hot take.
That is a hot take. You like that? You like that?
I do like that. Let's see. Most improved, the Golden State Warriors.
I mean, that's almost a given compared to where they were last year, but I agree. Yeah.
And
I think the Pelicans might be up there for most improved,
which would be huge for second year Zion.
The West is tough, and yeah, I think the Clippers are going to still make the playoffs, but they're going to squeak in there a little bit. Seventh seed, maybe.
I think a team that's going to take a step back, either one or the other, and these teams did extremely well and, you know, went pretty far both in the bubble. The Jazz or the Nuggets are going to take a step back.
Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. I think the Jazz probably more so than the Nuggets, but just based off of especially like Phoenix looks a lot better this year. I think Phoenix is going to make a big leap. With Chris Paul's got it, like, as much like I feel like he gets disrespected a lot, but he comes. All he does is go into places and just win and transform a culture of a franchise. So I feel like he's going to do it again.
He's going to be a very positive impact for Phoenix. Yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what? Paul, Booker, and Ayton.
Mm-hmm. CP3 with big men, too. With guys who are, like, talented big men. He gets the best out of those guys, too. I think him and Ayton, that's, like, the underrated connection right there. Yeah.
And Paul's got a couple good years left.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So. Absolutely. And then, of course, I think Memphis is just destined to make a big leap this year, which, of course, for collectors, second year Ja, I think, is going to be, yeah.
But most importantly, second year Brandon Clark.
I was going to say, I'm the face of the franchise, Brandon Clark. Like, don't have to, I mean.
He's going
to
be getting a lot of minutes because Jaren Jackson, I believe, is supposed to be out for, like, the first few months, so.
Months?
Yeah.
Damn.
Was a big part of that team if they want to make any kind of noise in the West.
Yeah.
Jaren Jackson.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree with – I like the Suns pick because they were already supposed to be a team that was supposed to be super.
They improved last year.
The team of the bubble. Yeah, they were the bubble winners.
Won every single game, but they still didn't make it. But yeah. Then that gave people hope for, you know, this upcoming season here.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. Absolutely. So, well, I think that's going to just about wrap it up for today. Hey, that was fun, guys. Thanks,
Doug.
Thank you, Cody.
Thank you. Thank you, welcoming in with open arms. It was a lot of fun. We're going to have, obviously, we got some breaks coming up here. C-Rise is going to be taking you the rest of the way here on the channel. Of course, make sure to check us out on Mojo Break Media. That's where we'll be posting this podcast and the clips of the podcast, plus more content coming your way as well on there. Mojo Break Card Shop. We got personal breaks on there. Our main feed, Mojo Break, of course. And, of course, make sure we mentioned at the top of the show, check out mojobreakshop.com. Until next time, peace. We'll see you soon.